of the movement, or when we put our hands on our body in a non-invasive way. So it's the understanding that it's okay to touch yourself because this is your body. Mm-hmm. And how can you let anybody else put their hands on you in any way whatsoever, yeah, intimate or otherwise, if you can't even do so in just a general loving way? Like your psych up game.
Yeah. Some breathing.
We can put some music on.
No, I'm good.
You do a little shimmy.
Yeah. I'm just going to keep talking to you guys. I'm going to turn around and start talking.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Paul Wenzel with Uncharted Performance. I am here with Andrea Maximo. Did I get that right?
Yeah, you did.
All right. Perfect. All right. Interview's done.
It was really good. And we're going home.
And Jen Speed. Mm-hmm. If you've been paying attention to Uncharted Performance, especially in our early days, you might be familiar with the last names. we'll just leave it at that, because it's not about them. It's about these two lovely ladies. But before we get into both of your stories and where we are today, Pure Movement, make sure to check out Uncharted Performance on iTunes and Stitcher. If you enjoy the show, the podcast, 5 stars, please leave a rating. If for some reason I'm doing a terrible job, if I'm mumbling, stumbling across, or anything else, definitely leave us feedback and let us know how we can improve in the future. You can support the show by checking out, if you're on the website, there's a nice Rogue Fitness link. So if you want to get some gear that might help you with some of the stuff that we're talking about today, I don't know if it will, but you never know.
Never.
And also below some of our featured products. All right. Catch my breath. Done talking to you guys. Andrea, you are the creator and head instructor at Pure Movement.
Yeah.
You are certified in Pilates spin, and I'm going to butcher this name. I want to say S Factor.
Okay.
S Factor certified. Is that cool?
S Factor certified. Right. Yes.
The name escapes me.
Okay. I thought you were going to go for booty yoga.
That's what I thought.
Oh, no.
I'm certified in that.
All right. Perfect. Yeah. I didn't get that, but yes.
So about what I was worried for. Okay.
You're also a certified life coach.
Yes.
And the co-creator at Groove Right.
Correct.
Jen, you are the DOFI.
Or DOFI.
DOFI, yes. At Groove Right.
Uh-huh.
One of the lead instructors at Pure Movement and also the co-owner of Iron Will.
Correct.
Before we get into anything else, what is DOFI? What does that stand for?
DOFI.
DOFI, sorry.
So DOFI is actually something I borrowed from my days at Lululemon. Mm-hmm. It is what they actually, in the store, the first person who greets you.
Okay.
They're the directors of first impressions is what it stands for. So I borrowed that because I really like the name, and I like the idea, the connotation that you had somebody that was the director of first impressions when you entered the studio, because we think that this is one of the most important roles in the studio because they're the first people who have to greet the guest. So aside from teaching, Jen is also one of our front of house people and one of the DOFIs, the leaders on the front desk team. So her responsibilities are, you know, getting guests checked in, making them feel amazing, keeping the pulse in the studio high, creating the party. So it's a really special role. It's not something that anybody can do. They're handpicked for this position and trained well. And
congrats.
And Jen is one of our lead DOFIs. So yeah, that's what that is.
No, it's actually very unique because you don't see that in a lot of places. Not a lot of studios or, I don't know, from my perspective, gyms or fitness facilities don't have that.
It's so important. That's
there to basically bring your day up, essentially, and get you going.
Yeah. Get you ready to start your
workout. The hype woman.
Yeah. I bring the hype.
You need a big clock around your neck.
A clock. That would be amazing.
Oh, my God. No.
How did you?
New uniform.
No.
How did you guys meet?
Oh, God.
This is so good.
It's such a great story.
Do you want to go first?
Sure. We met through Lululemon. Mm-hmm. The other half of my partnership met up with you and
Eileen.
Yes, from Towpath.
Okay.
And we met over burgers and fries to discuss kind of how Lululemon could help in what Ryan was doing at the time with CrossFit. And just connected. I had our little one in tow, and she just, I don't know, she just gravitates to people, and they gravitate to her, and you can't help but feed her french fries and give her a milkshake. And
she's the cutest.
Oh, my God.
She loves to eat.
She does love to eat. And so we just bonded over food and just what we wanted out of life and what we were trying to do.
This?
Oh, God.
How long ago?
3 years ago?
Longer than that.
4 years ago, maybe?
4 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. 3 or 4 years ago.
You were almost, you were just about leaving, right before you left Lululemon to do this.
No. No, because Ryan was an ambassador for a whole year or two.
Kind of.
Before. Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's been a while.
Well, here's the thing. That was definitely how we first met. But when I think Jen and I actually bonded is when the West Side Lululemon opened up.
No, it was still the pop-up.
The pop-up store. Yeah. Okay. And Jen and I went out there to go, you know, support Amy Basha and who was running the pop-up and support our Lululemon friends. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, you know, we had Lucy with us, her daughter, and we're like, well, let's go get something to eat. And she was like, let's do a shot. I was like, it's 3 p.m, but yeah, let's do it. And I was like,
It was a day. And I,
a couple of F-bombs later, I was like, I really like her. You know, I think it's just one of those situations there, you know, as a mom in particular, you're always, if you don't have that immediate group of friends that you came up with, you know, I'm not from here originally. Yeah. You're just looking. You're looking for that other group of moms that you can just be 100% comfortable and in front of and totally crazy and imperfect. And and Jen was one of those people who was like, I love it. I see it in me too. And that was it. We, you know, our messiness embraced.
Okay. Yeah. So it's 3 years since.
Yeah.
And from following you guys on social and knowing a little bit about you and spying on you just for the interview, you seemed like you two get along really well. Like you just mentioned. Oh, yeah. And that relationship seems to have blossomed over those 3 years.
Yeah.
Why has it continued to work? Because, you know, there are instances where people hit it off right away, but it can sour for whatever reason, or people just go their separate ways. Why do you think you guys stuck together and it's blossoming to what we're kind of experiencing right now?
For me, it's honesty. Like, she's 100% honest with me. I'm 100% honest with her. And I feel like I can tell her anything and she'll either call me on it. She won't co-sign my bullshit. Sorry, I'm not allowed to say that.
You're good.
You did.
I did. Beep. But she won't co-sign anything that she's not believing or anything that she's not on 100%. And I appreciate that in somebody who can be 100% real with me all the time.
Ditto. She said it great. I can take her anything and she'll tell me that's a terrible idea with love.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, same thing when I get into my stuff, because even as a life coach, you sometimes can't see your blind spot. And, you know, I know Jen will be the person to let me know that I'm missing something. And it's just been great. She's funny too. I think that's a huge piece because we like to laugh and I'm really goofy. So, you know, having someone who actually thinks I'm funny always is helpful. But sarcasm and my goofiness, it's like an old vaudeville show sometimes.
Oh, if they made a reality show for us, it would be good stuff. It'd be a bleep.
It'd be called Bad Moms. No, okay. I'm just kidding.
Oh, no.
All right, so we are at Pure Movement, Pure Movement Studio. We are in the corner. There's actually a lot more to this place than where we're standing. There's just really good lighting here. I think their ambiance is what it is for a reason.
Yeah,
I'm guessing.
It's a good guess.
But what is Pure Movement and why start it? How did the concept come about?
Okay.
What need did you think you were trying to fill or you wanted to fill?
Let me backtrack a tiny bit. So S Factor, which was the studio that certified me in pole and sensual dance in Los Angeles, was the first time that I was ever exposed to pole dancing or sensual movement. Mm-hmm. And I loved it instantly. And I knew right away that I wanted to be a teacher just because it was just extremely powerful what was kind of happening in the movement and with the women and the students and the transformations I was witnessing firsthand, both as a student and then later on as a teacher. We move. There is nothing like it here. And even though I was working with Lululemon, I always had it in my goals that I would create my own version of it or my own studio where I could bring some of that magic I was seeing happen in Los Angeles to Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And I know there's other studios around, and I'm not really sure what other people are doing with their studios, but I think for us, we knew that we weren't about the pole necessarily. The poles are in here because they're fun and they do provide a point of strength that you can build off of, and they also are just you know, it's another way to express yourself. It's movement. Except it's not the focus. And I think with most studios, many studios, I would be so bold as to say that a lot, you know, they're teaching pole. And the fitness of pole or the, you know, the competitive aspects of pole. So that will be their focus. For us, it was always a focus of more so what was happening internally through the movement with everyone. And what I did differently here is I took a lot of the life coaching that I had learned both in my certification and even through Lululemon and just through life in general and things that I observed as a teacher in the past and implemented more of a structure to the self-development aspect of it that wasn't there before at all. From what I had, you know, we kind of like were stumbling through things when people were kind of having these revelations. And here I wanted to make sure that myself and my coaches, because that's what we call ourselves, movement coaches, could actually address these things head on and feel comfortable and have the language and the tools to guide our students through whatever those things were that were coming up through the class.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
So what is Pure Movement?
So Pure Movement itself is a class devoted to empowering women to feeling connected to their feminine energy and their natural sensual movement.
Okay.
Right. So it's the idea that every woman, you know, we're born with the way our bodies move, and there's a certain kind of music in our bodies and a rhythm to how they move. However, through you know, ideas that society has about sexuality and sensuality in a woman's body, it being sometimes shamed or deemed as bad or dangerous, we believe that that kind of natural music in the body gets silenced. So we want to bring it back out. And we bring it back out through slow, controlled movement in the beginning to get everybody to just kind of calm down and actually feel the music, feel their movement, feel the muscles working because we rush through everything. And then we, like I said, we add in the self-development assignment so that they can continue the work outside of the class. And then we teach them to whatever you're feeling, if you're feeling angry, if you're feeling sad, if you're feeling joy, how to actually express that in the movement that they are learning on the mats and then later on when they stand and they rise.
I'm fascinated by this because this is, again, like I mentioned in our email conversations, I'm completely green to this, you know.
Did you want to add anything to that?
You covered it.
Okay, cool.
Yes, sorry.
No, this created it.
Can you just walk me through the class? So imagine I'm a lovely looking lady.
Okay, let's do day one.
Day one.
I'm walking.
I'm walking. I'm walking in. What should I be expecting?
So I think the biggest difference for us as far as like a fitness class, if you want to start with the fitness piece, is we sit in a circle. Okay. We don't line up like a yoga class or in rows. We sit in a circle to create that tribe and to create that connection right off the bat. And it also, we move a lot in circles on the mat. So we keep that circle as like the guiding principle, if you will, through our movement. And we introduce each other. We give our name, a little icebreaker, because most women are coming in so incredibly nervous, not quite sure what to expect on that first day, or coming in with these incredible expectations. And we just kind of set the tone that let's introduce ourselves, take a big deep breath all together, and we hold space. And we really learn that that's kind of just being quiet and listening and then sharing when we feel comfortable. And then they get about a 45-minute to a 50-minute warm-up, and it's on the mat. It's a mix of yoga, Pilates, core, sensual movement, stretching, mobility. Mobility doesn't sound sexy, but we make it very sensual. We make it sexy. There's no. And then once they get that connection and they settle into their mat, we turn it up a little bit in the intensity with our core. So the core is a big part of what's going to get them up that pole eventually as they go. So we focus on that and building strength in the upper body, which is something that as women may not come naturally.
Okay.
And then they get up on their feet and they learn their walk. Everyone walks differently. And I think for women, we kind of turn into pencils in some aspects of our life to try to not draw attention to what's happening here when we walk. And we really encourage them to slow down and feel their hips move when they walk.
Can I pause for one second? Because there's an important aspect that she hasn't touched on, which is her role, for instance, in the middle of all this. Okay. As the teacher, she's talking through the entire yes. thing because she's speaking through the noise that's in their head.
Yeah.
Right. So as she pointed out, a lot of women are really scared. They're nervous when they come. They're not sure what to expect. And it's like we've done it so many times that you can actually see it in their body. So she's mm-hmm. speaking the constant cueing to breath. She's speaking to, you know, the parts of the movement or when we put our hands on our body in a non-invasive way. So it's the understanding that it's okay to touch yourself because this is your body. Mm-hmm. And how can you let anybody else put their hands on you in any way whatsoever, yeah. intimate or otherwise, if you can't even do so in just a general loving way. Mm-hmm. So she's talking them through all these things. And as, you know, as it progresses, it's like, if there's an area that you're afraid of, let's reconnect to that area. So she's almost like addressing things that she is either seeing visually happen or just knows is most likely the conversation happening. Okay. So there's a constant guide through her voice, mm-hmm. helping them through the things that are going to be a little scary, the things that are going to be a little new, the things that are going to be a little nerve-wracking.
Mm-hmm. And I'm doing it with them
and
too.
With them the entire yeah. time. She yeah. never leaves. So she doesn't stand there and tell you, which is a traditional thing. Mm-hmm. She's actually interacting because she is doing the exact same movement they are. So they always have that guide.
Yeah.
And then like the second half of the class, as she was saying, yep. they get up on their feet and then she continues to lead them.
Right. So I'm going to interrupt yeah. too because yeah. my head is spinning. No pun intended.
Oh my God. Tell me we can get him on the pole.
We can. Maybe during the break. What are you looking for in the students that come in here, in terms of what are, I guess, some superficial or body cues that you want them to go through that you want to see as they're kind of warming up, mm-hmm. and if they're not, if you're not seeing what you want to see or what you think they should be experiencing mm-hmm. based on what you're seeing, mm-hmm. how do you address that?
Great question. It is a great question. We tell them first and foremost that this is their journey and mm-hmm. that we will encourage them to try things. And if it doesn't feel good in their body for whatever way, we tell them that they are empowered to stop.
Okay.
But for me specifically, if it's day one, I'm looking for to try to move slower,
okay.
To try to resist the urge to rush through it. Just as women, we have so many things that we put on our plates. And as humans, you know, I don't want to just speak for women, but we're constantly going from here to there. And in here, we want them to kind of settle in and just be present. They have 2 hours. That's the other thing. The class is 2 hours. And just to kind of settle in and move a little slower. That's for me on day one is what I'm looking for. If they get the movement right or wrong, and that's, you'll hear us say that there is no right and wrong until we get to the pole, and that's just for injury protection. But it's, I really want them to slow down versus getting necessarily it right out of the gate.
Definitely say the speed aspect is the first thing. And I look for the openness here
mm-hmm.
in the heart.
Yeah.
So oftentimes you will see this, or if someone is very tall, that they're trying to make themselves smaller. So I'm actually looking physically for where they don't seem to be living out loud in their body, so
yeah.
to speak. And the cueing would be things like reaching your heart forward, allowing the music to come in, pushing against something. If you're feeling the weight on your back or the weight on your heart, like imagine that you're actually able to, you know, send your light right back out, push against it. So there's a lot of, I would say a lot of cueing to expansion, taking mm-hmm. up space.
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing that we notice too, and just have experienced ourselves as women when we're uncomfortable. And again, we're speaking as women because that's who we're addressing, but mm-hmm. this can be for anybody, men included. You come into a crowded room, and if you don't have that confidence from whatever life has given you, you look for the first corner to go into, or you look
yeah.
to dissolve into a wall or to hide behind another group of people. And really, ultimately, what we're looking for is for them to learn to take up space. So you hear that
yeah.
cue constantly. Expand, take up space, fill the room, be as big and as loud through your body as you want.
And if they can't do that with their movement, mm-hmm. making it about the energy,
mm-hmm.
because some people do come in with limitations.
Sure.
And if it's not in the body, it's in the energy that they're sending out.
Mm-hmm. So there are visible changes in the body language.
Oh, for sure. That's how we do everything. Because, you know, they're not speaking to us necessarily, except for in the very beginning. So a lot of, you know, I say movement coach because we are watching the movement in the body to give us clues as to where, you know, emotionally they may feel cut off or frightened or, you know, what they're drawn to. You can also see, like, you can just see in a person's response to the music, like, they'll say, I don't like something or I'm not into. I always use this example as my favorite. I don't listen to hip hop. I'm like, oh yeah, okay, let's see. And then like that bass line starts and all of a sudden this hip comes out and it's like, you don't listen to hip hop. You know, your body does something and it is responding. Mm-hmm. And that's what we look for, visual cues, more so than anything, to feed off of, to, you know, what direction to either cue or to
redirect
exactly, things like that.
Okay, awesome. Apologies for the interruption. Mm-hmm. So
no,
now we're nice and warmed up.
Nice and warmed up.
And now we're getting up off the floor. Where do we go next?
You're going to learn some tricks. Okay. We really focus on more of fluidity. And yes, there are placements. Shoulder cueing is huge for us, but we're not looking for them to mirror what we're doing. It's really falling into their own movement. Here's your A, B, and C. This is where everything goes. But if it doesn't look exactly how I did it or how Anjua did it, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Because now we're getting into the dance piece. And we tell them that they dance for them first. It's not necessarily about the performance. So where other studios are the competitive, they are looking for certain things when they go out and they compete. And here it's literally, I mean, you'll notice there's no mirrors. So it's not about necessarily what it looks like, but how it feels. Mm-hmm. And then that transitions into their sensual dance. And it's not a 5, 6, 7, 8. It's never to the beat of the music. I wouldn't be teaching it if you lost.
Is it safe to say it's more freestyle?
It gets to that point.
At some point.
They learn, it's like learning a new language. So they learn their ABCs and their 1, 2, 3s, a sentence. We show them a sequence. And they move at their own pace through that sequence. So it's not necessarily tied to a specific song or a beat. It's these are the sequence of movements that we put together, and then they're going to feel their way through it. And we're doing it with them. We don't leave them. We don't show it and say, okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Because again, it's that feeling of performance that we want to avoid. Mm-hmm. And we know that there are people who definitely are coming because they want to, you know, show it to somebody special in their life or whatever. Or maybe they are going to go perform somewhere. And that's cool. That's just, you know, our philosophy is it's for you first. You know, do it for you. And if it feels great in your body, then undoubtedly it's going to look amazing. If that's what you're worried about. But it's really about feeling. And the music changes. And like to what Jen's saying, it's so much more about the flow of the movements and you actually connecting to the song than it is about, you know, getting things just right. And you'll see students panic and stop and be like, oh, I'm not in the right place with everybody else because maybe they got lost in a moment. And we were like applauding that. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Yeah. No, don't worry about everybody else. You were somewhere else. And that's what we want. We want you to kind of be transported through the music. Same thing too, emotionally. We talk a lot about emotional connection to the music because eventually, as you pointed out, freestyle is the goal. So we have girls that are in the third level called emergence. There's three levels. Spark is the very first, then rise, and then emergence. And emergence is an ongoing intermediate advanced level. And at that point, they are beginning to freestyle. And it essentially is, you know, they'll come in and we then are seeing kind of what's going on with them. Almost I can just read their body as they dance through the song they chose, you know, the clothing that they're wearing, and just their movement in general, what's going on with them. And it's their time to come and express.
It's like a moving meditation.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One last question before we take a quick break. Yeah. And something I think you brought up that there is a physical aspect to it. And from seeing stuff on TV or just actually at the Arnold 1 year. There is a, you know, it is not something that you just hop on, you know, just the pole specifically. It's not you just hop on and you do the tricks. You do need some sort of level of strength and fitness. What kind of progressions are there? How do you progress against students that might be limited in their physical capabilities and their physical strength?
You know, we always emphasize that it's not about getting it right or perfect. I love to use the analogy. There's going to be some people that are going to get to the pole and it's like breath, natural for them. They just fall into it and you're just like, wow. And then there's going to be other people where it is not that natural for them. It'll feel like a fish out of water, mm-hmm. but they may dance like breath. Okay. And a person who's glued to the pole panics in the middle of the floor. So it really is about finding the medium, whether it be dancing on a floor or on the pole, that is the most comfortable for you, but not allowing it to get you so in your head that you now start, you know, worrying that you're somehow not doing something right. That being said, I've been told by students that what we do well here is that we're extremely patient with okay. People who are not getting it for numerous reasons, whether it be strength, just mobility, fear is a huge component. They just don't want to leave the floor.
Both feet off the floor.
I mean, plenty of strength to do it. We can see it, but their feet are like, no. And that's okay too. And it's never, you know, they don't get left to the side.
Right.
We are trained, you know, if you've got 10 people in here to be with the woman who's struggling while you are directing the other 9. And that's something that I've trained them all to do so that no one is ever left sitting off or deciding that they don't want to play.
Okay.
And there's also modifications.
Oh, yeah. All the time.
Yeah.
And I think it's also just, you know, people getting real with certain things. Again, the expectation of what they come in. I know they watch the YouTube videos.
They make it look so easy because they're strong as hell.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and they've been doing it for
a
minute.
What's on YouTube,
right? Yeah. Right. And they've been doing it for a long time and they train hours a day.
Like, that's jam.
Yeah.
Get it. And that's why. But if you think you're going to come in and just pop up like that, don't set yourself up that way, okay. you know, like just come in and just be a blank slate and see what happens. And some people really surprise themselves. I've had people, you know, who couldn't invert upside down and it years. Mm-hmm. And then finally they built the strength and it was partially from them just continuously working on their strength in class with, you know, pull-ups or different, you know, things that was strengthening exercise that we may give them. And then taking it on outside because it was that important to them. So building their strength in other classes, and then utilizing it in here. You can't come once a week too and expect to become an expert at anything, especially when it comes to the pole.
Okay.
But since it's not the point, you know, for what it is, it serves its purpose.
Yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. On that note, we're going to take a quick break.
Okay, cool.
And in the second half, we'll get into how to actually get people in here.
Okay, cool.
And what we've learned from the people in here.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. Good. We'll be right back. Hey everyone, it's a short break for a few quick PSAs. A, sign up for our newsletter. Why do you want to do that? A, you get a quick early heads up on our interviews and blog posts, but more importantly, you can score some free awesome gear from our partners, Wild Nation and Rogue Fitness. B, make sure to leave us feedback, either on iTunes, Stitcher, or YouTube, wherever you're watching or listening. We can't improve if you don't give us feedback. C, if you can't wait till the next episode on Monday and you need that daily fix of Uncharted Performance, follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Uncharted Performance and on Twitter at Reach Uncharted. And last but not least, if you want to score some free swag from Uncharted Performance, like this awesome tee that I'm wearing right now, if you're listening on iTunes or Stitcher, you probably can't see it, but it's Lift Today Like It Was Your Last, Marcus Aurelius, famous quote. Head over to our Patreon community and check us out there as well. Thank you guys for checking out this episode and enjoy the second half. See ya. All right. Perfect. Let's get this started again before I get in more trouble. a term that you mentioned a couple times, both of you, in the first half of the interview is sensual movement. Can you go a little deeper and explain that to me and also the individuals watching or listening to us, what that means? What that means to you?
Want me to start?
Sure.
For me personally, it took me a second to kind of take out sensual needs to mean sexy because it doesn't. If I'm breaking it down, sensual senses, it's literally all of my senses working together at the same time, being completely connected to what I'm hearing, to what I'm feeling, to what I might be smelling, to what I might be seeing, and to what I'm feeling in my gut.
Okay.
And we teach that in baby steps. It's not something that we expect them to just kind of, all right, you're all connected to your senses, go feel it out on the music. It's we build it layer by layer. And to me, sensuality is the layers of who we are as women.
I like that.
Okay.
That's really good. All right, I'll address the other end of it then. So she said it can be more than just sexual, and that's 100% true. And I think for me, it's the intention behind the movement.
Okay.
Okay. So you can do dragging your leg up another leg, and it could just be like a scratch.
You got an itch,
you know, or you could really take your time and feel your leg moving up mm-hmm. your other leg. And does it tickle? And does it feel a certain way? And does it kind of make the hair stand up on a back? And that suddenly now makes it a sensual move.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that movie moment.
If you must. Yeah. You know what I tell people? It's like, you know, the montage sequence.
Yeah.
Everybody looks good moving slow. Right?
It's just like the same thing.
Yeah. And there's moments in here when we're not. We encourage them later on after they've learned to go slow to find their what we call fire or, you know, the quick movement to the spice, the accent in the movement. So it's not just one continuous thing like this. But that is the difference. It's mindlessly scratching or really consciously being aware of your fingers moving up your arm. And what does that feel like? Now, if someone were to watch, if they had the privilege to watch,
Preach.
Here goes. If she decided to show this gift to someone and they were to watch it to them, it might seem incredibly maybe sexual or sexy because someone is lost in their own feeling.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Because they have their preconceived notions or...
Well, yeah. I mean, I think there's always a preconceived notion of what sexy means. And we actually don't use that word very much in here because there's so much connotation to the word sexy. And personally feel like it's been built from a male's point of view of what sexy needs to look like.
And it means something different for everyone. What I find 100%. Sexy is different from what she finds sexy. So we don't teach sexy in here. It's different
it's
for
general
everyone.
Term. Yeah. And it doesn't... Exactly. It's a completely different thing. And... You know, I think it's understanding that if you were to watch it happening, though, it's that moment of almost catching someone when they don't know you're looking. And it's very beautiful. I don't know if you've ever had that moment with your lovely wife where she's maybe lost in a song or she's just looking off and you catch her in that moment. It's really gorgeous. And it's like a window into what's happening. And that's the same thing that happens if you would happen to watch somebody dance.
Okay. But that translates into just, I don't want to generalize it. So if I'm doing it incorrectly, please.
I won't slap you. It's going to be okay.
It's off camera, right?
What do you want to say?
But, you know, moving with intention mm-hmm. is not just, it doesn't just stay in this room or in terms of, you know, kissing that person. It's valuable in whatever you're doing.
Oh, you can become very conscious of it too.
Yeah.
I can move with intention in front of someone damn well knowing what I'm doing and knowing the energy that I'm putting out there. So we'll joke around after class and be like, be careful with that goddess energy. Right. You know, when
you go into the grocery store, careful with that walk.
You know, that walk starts coming out. Maybe there's a song on or, you know, even how they bend over and pick up something.
They'll never pick up anything the same way.
It's just being so conscious of the arch in their back and the movement of their hips. And it starts to feel good when you unlock it. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, the goal would be that they can just let their bodies move any way they want outside of this room, not just inside this room.
Okay.
You know.
What's the biggest difficulty that you guys, sorry, I got, I just, my wife yells at me because I always say you guys.
It's all good.
So I just called myself. So kudos to me.
Ooh. Right on.
Good job. Good.
This is an awesome interview, by the way. I'm having a great time.
Okay.
Interjection.
So are we.
Random interjection, but that's what happens on a chart performance. I'm losing my train of thought. Oh, yes. Biggest difficulty in actually having somebody come to you or get, walk through that door, because there are some misconceptions, some of that obviously I'm presenting from a male perspective, but obviously women, I'm assuming, might have
too. I think
the
biggest thing is just, and I don't want to say that it's fear, it's not really being sure what to expect, mm-hmm. because for the most part, what's been available is a traditional pole mm-hmm. studio. And really, you know, when people ask what is pure movement, that's like one of the first questions you ask. It's so hard to kind of put into words what happens in this room, and it's literally you have to experience to understand it. So for me, when I'm talking with women, I can see them going, "Who can I get to come with me? Who can I get to come with me?"
Why do they?
Because they're interested, but it's like they need their buddy, their bathroom buddy, or you know. And I get it. I totally get it. Because if it weren't for me starting in her basement, mm-hmm. where this was brewed and signed, sealed, and delivered, I probably wouldn't have started. Just because I didn't have that close connection mm-hmm. with anybody at the time to say, "Come do this with me." And she was just like, "I'm I'm going to start this. Come be a student. And I'm like, okay.
I think also that there's a lot of fear. There actually is fear around what people are going to think if they take this class.
Yeah.
Right.
So there's other people
thinking of them. What will they think if I take this class? So, you know, there's the idea that, and it's unfortunate because I think they label it this for all pole studios, you know, that you must be a certain way. You know, whatever that means. I don't even know what that means. It just sounded like I was a 98-year-old woman, or wanton woman. You know, like you must be like somehow, I don't know. One of the stereotypes of a woman who's in charge of her sexuality would be, I guess,
loose,
you know, over-sexual, or any of these things that they seem to shame about women and turn against us. And I feel like there's a fear that if someone knows that they are coming to this class, that they're going to judge them. Okay. Yeah. It's a long way for me to say that. Judgment is the big thing.
Yeah.
And I know this because I've, you know, in the past run into students outside of this, and I kind of wait to see how they're going to introduce me. Cause I don't, you know, I'm not going to blow your spot up if that's how you feel about it. I respect that. You know, and it'll be like, this is my yoga teacher. And I'm like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah. Really?
You know, or my Pilates teacher or my dance instructor. Mm. And then I kind of signals to me that they're still kind of
uncomfortable
with it, even though they love it and they embrace it. They haven't yet felt comfortable enough to share. And unfortunately, what I also find is that they don't have a very good support group of people who are willing to even hear why they like it without judging them or making fun of them. And that's the part I think that hurts the most is that that they actually, you know, I can't imagine going through life knowing that I was really into something that maybe wasn't the most mainstream thing, but that I didn't have one friend that would support me on it and hear me out. I think it's actually pretty crappy, but you know, I'm not going to judge who they hang out with, but you know, it's definitely, it makes me think. It makes me think like who are you rolling with that you can't even share this, that you actually have found something that's helpful to you.
Yeah.
And then I think there's just a small percentage of there that think somehow, you know, they connotate it 100% related to stripping, actual strippers.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have no issue with that profession. It's a job. Yeah, they chose to do it. They dig it. It makes them money. And I have no issues with those people at all who want to pursue that line of work. But we do nothing like that in here.
Right.
You know, like I would teach you really, it is the joke, I would teach you practical things like when to collect your money, like, you know, what guy to dance for and not to dance for, or how long of a song to dance for. But,
right.
You know, we don't talk about things like that. Where to wear lotion, not to wear lotion. Where do you get the good glitter? I would, you know, I'm joking, but that's just like, we just don't. You know,
right.
We're addressing nothing like that in here. The closest thing to it is the fact that we're all operating on this little gymnastic apparatus here.
Which again is just a piece.
It's just a piece of it, and it's a small piece of it. But everything else, you know, it doesn't really relate to what's happening in the actual dance strip clubs. Uh-huh. But you know, they don't know until they come, and I think that's the biggest piece. Is just getting them to go, let me read a little bit more about it. And I think in the beginning we were also not as clear with how to describe it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we were trying to make it all underground and cool. It was just a little too underground. People were like, I don't know what that is, you know? And then we just started becoming more forthcoming, I think, with the information and being able to articulate what it is. And our students started coming and being able to articulate what it was.
Yeah.
And then getting them on film and getting them actually, you know.
On film. Testimonial.
Testimonial.
Yes.
Shooting testimonials and things like that. And then other students or other potential students could see and relate and be like, oh, okay. It's like a girl that's in my class, or that's like a girl that, you know, is, you know, goes to my yoga studio. It's just not anybody, whatever they think in their head, Carmen Electra. I don't know. You hear this too sometimes.
Yeah.
It's, I've heard this, when I get more flexible or when I'm thinner, I will come, which is like,
so they're waiting for something.
They're waiting for something, like for it to be right. And it's like, no, now is right. The fact that you even think that means you need to come to this class.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yep.
How does one become qualified to empower someone?
Oh, really good question. It's so funny. I read this one out loud and I'm like, whew. And Ryan actually had a really great, he's like, you don't know? And I was like, well, I have to think about it. And so
Ryan read these.
He's not no. I was really just like laying in bed reading these, and I went, wow. And then I read it out loud, and he goes, so what do you think? And I'm like, well, I got to think about it. And apparently, I didn't respond. So he And it was so true that I was just like, I'm going to steal this. Welcome, Ryan. I don't think I necessarily qualify myself or you qualify me to empower my students who tell me that they feel inspired or what they learned has empowered them, empowers me to empower them. It comes from our students, personally.
I think just living this life in these bodies as women, and recognizing where you maybe cut your growth off as a person, or recognizing where you allowed someone to shame you, and then knowing that you found ways or tools to work through that so that you can now be like a stand for other women is what empowers you. So, you know, yes, there are other specific techniques that they are taught on the coaching end, you know, that I have given them and instilled in them and trained them on. But anybody can empower another woman. Yeah. You don't, you know, you don't necessarily have to be a teacher here to do that. You know, if we weren't, I would like to think that we'd still have gone through somewhat of the same journey, maybe a different way, but that we'd still be talking it to other women.
Yeah.
I mean, it all started that way for me, is that I found this thing and I was so excited about it and all these amazing things were happening in this class and these women were like having amazing moments and I couldn't stop talking about it to everybody who would listen. I'd be like, I'd hear a woman, and it's so funny because this was like back in the days, like I was working at Lululemon in California, and there'd be someone like smack talking about themselves in a dressing room and they'd be like, Anjua! And they'd like call me from the front and they'd come back like, she's talking smack about herself. Get in there. And I'm like, okay, listen, what's going on? And you know what I mean? And we would just kind of, we'd hash it out woman to woman.
Yeah.
I get it. You don't like the way your body looks in those pants right now, but let's talk through this right now. Let's be sensible. Let's, you know what I mean? It's just relating to people. I don't think it's that you have to be an authority in anything other than being a woman who's gone through some shit
stuff.
Yeah. And sorry, two times. And
can we keep score? Who swore the most?
I'm being very good right now.
She's trying really hard.
I think just being able to relate from one woman to another, and anybody can do that, not just a pure movement instructor.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the outlet that you found, both of you have found to do.
Yeah.
That.
I remember standing in your kitchen, it might have been after the second or third class, and saying to you, every woman needs this.
Oh, yeah.
And just, and knowing that it may not speak to every woman, but I just felt compelled to go, I want every woman to feel as I feel right now in my body.
And that's what in my mind, I was like, and she will be my next instructor. She will be my, because that's what it is. I need someone who's passionate about that. Someone who's going to be tireless in their fight to let other women just be as expressive in their bodies as possible, who get the importance of it and are really fired up about it. And I felt that from her in that moment. I was like, she's going to be a great teacher.
What have you learned about yourselves?
Through pure movement?
At pure movement. Through the coaching, through running it, through creating it.
Okay. I have learned that.
Awesome.
I have learned to actually live agility as opposed to just preaching it. Okay. So being agile, meaning that in the beginning we had concepts and ideas that I had to let go of. You know, it was originally 8 weeks long. It was originally, you know, X amount of this, and we did this, and I just had to let go of what I thought I knew was going to work and recognize that some things weren't going to work. You know, we've brought drop-in classes in and we've taken them back out, and it was, you know, it's being able to not be so precious about something as long as you keep the essence of what it is you're trying to do, the body of it, or the you know, the structure of it needs to have the ability to move and change. So, you know, I had learned it a certain way for so long, and I had taught it that way for so long. And I think it was, for me, the exercise and was letting go of what I thought I knew and recognizing that there was more to create from it. And that I had the tools myself to create from it. And I had the ability to push it in the direction that I really always knew it could, but it needed to be from me being able to let go of what I knew.
Okay. Jen?
Well, for myself, being a student to a teacher, I've learned the self, the importance of self-care, and how much of myself I let go in being a mom and a wife and being so focused on raising this kid and not breaking her in the process. that I lost a connection with me. I lost connection to what I found important and what I wanted, and was able to find that and get really clear about what I want and what I want my legacy to be, and am able to live it each day. I'm reminded of what it is I want to do and to stay connected to me and keep moving forward to leave that legacy for my daughter and other women.
As movement coaches, what challenges have you experienced or have to overcome as a coach? Being internally or working with some of the individuals that work and come into your class?
I think for me, the biggest thing would be letting go of, like, I don't ever need to fix someone because they're not broken. And there are those times when you're not able to get through or you're not able to help that student shift. And I think there's a sense of frustration sometimes or hopelessness.
Yeah.
Because you want so badly to give them the thing that's going to be the light bulb. And sometimes you've exhausted your toolkit and you've gone through all the lessons and, you know, and you have to just trust that at some point they are listening and the shift will come when they're ready.
Okay.
But not to assume it's because you haven't done a good job or you haven't done your job as a coach or you haven't given them everything that you can. I talk to my coaches about this all the time. It's like at a certain point you have to go, I did everything and hope that they're listening. And the funny thing is 90% of the time they are, and they will come back and be like, that thing you said, and you're like, oh God, they were listening.
They were listening.
They were listening. They heard you. It's just, it needs to be on some people's time that just is it. It just takes a while for some people, and you can't be so. You have to practice detached involvement.
Yes.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
Yeah.
That ditto.
Okay. So I'm a man. How can men relate to what you teach, or should they?
I think they can.
I'd love to hear this.
Yes. So, for me, I feel like it's not just women being trained or have so much noise coming at them to shrink and be small. I think men and young boys also get this. You hear it a lot in the man up thing, that men are sometimes shamed for outwardly expressing their feelings. Mm. And I feel like they also come up against social stigmas that they then suppress certain parts of them. You could be a truly feeling outward expressing man, but have been told men don't cry or men don't do that. You have to be strong and bold. And yeah. And then they turn that off, and then they never truly feel or express or get rid of what it is, and it all gets bottled up. So I think men absolutely can relate to what we do here.
That's great. I love that. It's definitely the understanding that it's all we're doing is giving space for the feminine to rise.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, as a guy, while these classes aren't necessarily created for a man specifically to come in, because part of what works here is the aspect of the sisterhood. Mm-hmm. There are other places, I think, for men and women to come together and celebrate that, the rise of the feminine, that energy, that the ability to be vulnerable and find the strength in that. This isn't the room for that. This is specifically for the women to create that sisterhood that I think we also so desperately need.
Yes.
In our society more of.
Okay.
And, you know, I think as a guy, because I've encountered this a lot too with students who are like, he just doesn't get why I need to be here every single week for 2 hours for like 18 weeks. You know, like, because they just stay. They don't want to leave. You know, our students on Wednesday night for the emergence upper level have been with us almost a year.
Yeah.
And they're like, they don't get it. And I think for a guy, it's just to understand that it's okay to not understand.
Okay.
It's okay for you to not 100% get what's so important about, you know, her sitting and commuting and being with her girls in a certain way. What I do think it's important to understand as a guy, though, that the stories that you hear about women feeling so uncomfortable in their bodies or fearful in their bodies or less than in their bodies is true. And not to poo-poo it away or minimize it or, you know, say it's in your head or the media is blowing it out of proportion. No, it's real. We deal with it every day in here. And to understand that it starts from small, and it's how you talk to your daughters, and it's how you talk to your sisters, and it's how you allow other men to address them and talk about them in front of you. And all these things contribute to why so many women do find their way into this room, because there needs to be more attention paid to that, if anything, to how men are listening to the story that they're hearing about, you know, what's happening with women in their bodies and their sensuality and their sexuality, and not writing it off, but leaning in and being willing to just be open and see, just hear.
Do you think a studio like this would work for men?
I think that...
Do you think this concept would work?
You definitely are asking me some of the most unique questions of all the interviews. I think that it could work for men. It's just about restructuring, you know, some of the dialogue, you know, because I don't think it needs to be the same.
Right.
Okay. But I do think that you guys, for the most part, and again, as I'm speaking in a very general term, are raised to feel differently in your body. So while I know that it's not all guys, because there's definitely the whole alpha male thing and, you know, guys who don't have, you know, bro, do you even go to the gym? Like, you know, like I get that there's that dynamic that happens a lot with men, and amongst other things. But I think for the most part, you know, you guys are kind of taught that it's okay to slap each other's asses and you're on your pecs and you can touch your biceps and it's okay. But if a girl does that, it's like weird.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, in general, there's a little different comfort men have in how they move. You also, I think, don't have the same issues where you're walking down the street and you've got like 10 guys staring at you and catcalling you. And
or girls being sent home from school because their shoulders are exposed and it's a distraction to
the
boys.
See what I'm saying? So I think for men, the lesson that would need, or the through line would be more so on working and exercising the feminine more in them, the vulnerability, the ability to be empathetic, the ability to soften in some ways, some of those harder edges you have to have in order to be men. That would be how I would lean the class more towards, as opposed to you physically and how you move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah.
Thank you for answering that.
Of course.
Totally. I'm thinking.
Okay. Listen, Joe from next door, Joe Kalari wants to come to booty yoga. So we're working on a male booty. Maybe you'll come to booty yoga with Joe.
You never know.
You never know.
Because I'm just thinking back on, on the way I was brought up. Mm-hmm. And it was... not the stereotypical male dominant alpha male. So I think I guess I can pride myself in being more open than what the general.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, got you.
General,
more in tune.
Not the typical.
Not the typical. Okay. So I guess that's where my question was coming from.
Yeah.
Was that I personally would love to try this.
Sure.
Again, I don't know if other men would necessarily. Mm-hmm, So that's where that.
You're not the first who's asked.
Okay.
No. And I think, you know, I think there is a general curiosity. They just want to know what happens in that room. And, well, you like it so much. And maybe I want to feel good like that, too.
Yeah.
So I get that.
Because going back with the whole idea of moving with intention and being able to feel yourself and move, I think one thing that I'm poor at is being able to do that with someone else and learning how to do that maybe on myself first to be able to express that with someone else. On a day-to-day basis.
I would say, guys, he's enlightened. Because in my head, I'm going, oh, a couple's night.
Right. See, but no, that could be trouble.
Right. It could be trouble. Like,
but what you're saying, I understand.
Yeah.
It's helping men move with intention. Yes. So they can be better, not only
so
for
you're
themselves.
Not so heavy-handed.
But yeah.
Sorry.
All right. We're gonna start wrapping up here.
Okay.
So what is, if there is one thing, that, so we'll take one from each of you. Mm-hmm. And if it takes you somewhere, it can be more than one thing. But if there's one thing that you want to stand out or really you want to kind of nail down that sticks with the audience, either listeners or viewers, based on the last, you know, 45 minutes that we've had together, what would that one thing be?
One thing.
One phrase?
Or just something that you want to emphasize.
Okay, I was like, not one word.
Not one word. Some concept or thought. It can be related to what we talked about or something completely out of the blue.
I would say this is a safe space. That the space is created, was created for women specifically to have a space to come and explore their bodies and how they move. That anybody and everybody has the right to feel beautiful in their bodies as is. And that your body is your own and your sensuality is nothing to be fearful of or ashamed of. That it's all part of the many layers and complexities that make us human. And women specifically, you know, we're just not any one thing. And I think to continue to move through life thinking you have to fit into a mold of, you know, a concept that someone else has created for you for what they think you should be doing as a woman is really just going to rob you, I think, of a lifetime of so much possibility, of richness, of, I mean, it, you know, your whole entire life is heightened and in such an amazing way by just being so in tuned with yourself from, you know, not just how food tastes to your intuition. It all is linked together. When any part of you is cut off, that is going to feed that part of you, that creative part of you, it's just not giving you the full picture. It's not giving you the opportunity to live the full picture, I think.
Get out of my head.
I kind of teach the same thing.
Right. I was just going to say is that as a student, I didn't realize how much I was missing out on until I started to move slow and really pay attention to what I was hearing, what I was seeing, what I was feeling. And just so many things opened up for me, how I spoke to my daughter, to how I spoke about myself. One of the big ahas I had for myself was when I would get introduced to somebody, I would always introduce myself as my husband's wife. I would never even lead with my name. And it never occurred to me that I should be leading with my name. It's just kind of, my identity got absorbed into the things that I was doing and not necessarily who I was. And this just opened up so much more. I'm so much more aware of every moment, the things I'm hearing, the wind in the trees or, you know, smelling the rain coming. It just going, wow, you know, just having so many more wow moments in my day versus get up, do this, do that, go to bed, do it all over again. It's just, it's helped me slow down and just take notice.
So good.
What is next for both of you? What is next for Pure Movement?
Wow. I think we definitely want to continue with our Girls Night Out. It's an event that we do every couple of months where we combine the self-development with movement. So it could be, last time it was booty yoga that we introduced them to, but we, you know, we took a concept like self-worth or, you know, the five obstacles that we seem to emotionally get blocked by, and we'll break down, you know, and do a little seminar and actually give them tools right there. They'll work and interact with other women. It's really neat. It's a cool thing because a lot of times it's not even students that necessarily come here. It's a whole nother set of women that will come and meet other women. And so they interact with each other. You know, we tie in wine and food and then the movement seems to really work for them to move everything that they've just experienced or understood or took in through their bodies after. So Girls Night Out, more of those, working to possibly bring in more of the electric life coaching. So that's the life coaching or the self-development piece that I also have created, and doing more of that online to make it more accessible to more women. You know, across the country or what have you, not necessarily with the movement, but, you know, there's space for kind of both things. I think we're just kind of playing with that. And then obviously expanding possibly in this area, we kind of like it being in this one spot right now. So we've decided the focus is to allow it to expand through another teacher. So we have our first offsite Peer Movement instructor will be in Austin, Texas. And she's currently being trained right now.
Nice, congrats.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Jen, anything to add?
I mean, for me, on my checklist is getting my certification in the life coaching piece. Wink, wink, nod, nod. it's just always been something that I have been drawn to, and something that I feel very passionate about. And for me personally, living a simple life and taking that life out on the road, eventually bringing Pure Movement to people outside of Woodmere, Cleveland, Ohio, and just expanding my reach.
Yeah.
So this is exciting because we do have, you know, listeners and viewers that are not Cleveland centric, even though we are Cleveland based. Pure Movement coming at you.
Call us. Have coal. We'll travel.
For real.
So if people aren't local that are watching or listening, where can they follow you on social media?
We've got our Pure Movement Facebook page. We have a Pure Movement Instagram, and it's Movement with no vowels, so MVMNT. And then obviously on our Groove Ride website, we have, you know, Pure Movement information, videos are on that website. If you look for the tab under classes for Pure Movement specifically, you can watch the testimonials from students. You know, some of those smaller videos, shots of Girls Night Out, things that have happened event-wise here. And then also just get a full breakdown of all the levels and what you learn from Spark all the way through Immersions.
Okay. Personal Instagrams, Twitters, anything?
Yeah, they can follow me at The Electric Life. That's The _ Electric Life.
I'm J Speed on Instagram.
Yep.
Okay. Very cool. Thank you both.
Thank you
for an awesome time. I had a blast.
That's fun.
If for those listening or wondering why it's Uncharted here, just read the name of Uncharted again.
Right.
You might understand why. So thank you both again.
Awesome.
Thank you guys for listening. Take it easy.
Great. Thank you.
Take care. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for checking out the video. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel and also check out our Patreon community by following the links right below me. Also, make sure to check out the related videos to my left, your right. You'll probably dig those as well. Thank you again and see you next time on Uncharted Performance. Take care.